free ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
Hey everybody, welcome to day 58 of the NBL Blitz, baby. No, I think it's actually day 6, but it has been a lot of basketball. Starting to get to that point of the tournament where you're thinking, what games have I seen? Who's played? What's going on? Didn't I really see this? And your mind starts to sort of swim in all the basketball that you've seen. And, you know, something that happened 3 days ago, you think, I don't remember that at all. It's just a long distant memory ago. So, yeah, starting to get a bit foggy. But tonight, we had another two games. We had the Sydney Kings up against the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. And that was followed by Melbourne United up against the Perth Wildcats. But I know what you're all tuning in for at this point. It's become somehow, randomly, the key feature of the podcast, the thing that I get more feedback about than anything else. That's right. It's the Canyon Dinner Selection. Today, didn't really have much time to do a lot of planning because Nick Tan and I went out to the crocodile tour on the Adelaide River, saw some crocodiles jumping out of water. They were getting good pork chops, so they had a good dinner, but it didn't leave much time to plan dinner for myself. So we did have a big lunch at the Humpty Doo Tavern on the way home, which filled my tummy up well enough so that I was good to go. And then tonight, I actually got myself organized, escaped the stadium real quick to beat the line, because, you know, I don't like a line, don't like lining up for food. I beat the line, got in, and got a lamb gyros kebab. It was pretty good, $12 for a lamb gyros. It's pretty good. The bread was maybe a little bit too thick for my liking. I like a bit more of a crispier bread, toasted a little bit more strongly, but it was okay. It was good and it filled a hole. So now I've come home after the games. I'm not that hungry. I've got some leftover donuts from Woolworths. So maybe I'll just have a couple of those with a cup of tea and that might see me through tonight. So that's my dinner plans. Right, game time. First one we had, Sydney Kings up against the Phoenix. Ended up being a 91-79 game to the Kings, but that margin probably belies the closeness of the game. It was a close contest until the last few minutes where the Kings really ran away with the game, primarily because Southeast Melbourne were running out of guys. A lot of fouls called in this game. A lot of foul, and I think that's the takeaway from this game in general, was the referees just calling everything, much to the frustration of particularly Simon Mitchell and absolutely to Big Source Alan Williams, who was intensely frustrated with the calls being called on him and those not being called on him at the other end. He was in foul trouble throughout this game. Picked up three early, picked up fourth, and then finally got his fifth. As he was walking off the court, having collected his fifth, he had a big mouthload of words to say to the referees, which earned him, or more accurately at that point, the bench, a technical foul. So he not only did he walk to the bench, he walked right past his own bench at that point, stormed out, smashed something on his way or in the change room. Was not a happy camper. And I think this is something the league needs to look at, because I don't think some of those fouls were perhaps there or worth calling. You know, we came to see these guys play. It's the preseason. They're all trying to get their training in. What's the benefit of fouling all these guys out? It wasn't just him. We had Kyle Adnam had four fouls. Ruben Tirani had four fouls. And Tasevic had four fouls. Junior Madut had four fouls. Owen Foxwell fouled out with five. It was just across the board. Fouls everywhere. Foul fest for Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Plenty of fouls called on the Sydney Kings as well. Suarez fouled out with five. Justin Simon had four. None of the others got above three, so they did a little bit better out of it. But, yeah, a lot of fouls called. In this game, Kevin Lish was coaching. Jace Buford was sitting baseline watching the game. I heard him and saw him calling out a couple of things and guiding his players from the baseline a couple of times. So it's a good thing he's not playing tennis. He might get in trouble for that sort of coaching from the sidelines, but all good in basketball. Southeast Melbourne, as well as being in foul trouble, they were men down because Gary Brown, he injured his knee after playing just 5 minutes or so. He left the court, did not return. Don't think it would be a long-term injury. It looked like a knee knock, and I would say that they're just being cautious given they've already don't have Trey Kell. He didn't play much time. So Owen Foxwell was forced to do a lot of the ball handling, but he was super impressive. He did really well, controlled the ball, stayed on the attack, scored well, played a good game. And if he's sort of a third string guard behind the imports plus Adnam, they're actually in a pretty good place. Where they're not in a good place with is their forwards. They continue to struggle, particularly with Ruben Tirani. He just looks absolutely lost on the court. I don't see what he is bringing to this team at this point in time anymore. I know they talk up his defense. I'm not really seeing it. He's a liability on offense, and I think Ruben Tirani will find himself, well, will probably have to be sent to the bench a significant amount of time this season because he's just, I don't see what he's delivering. And I think Atasevic will probably play over the top of him in the season proper. And even Junior Madut is looking better than Ruben Tirani. So that's a real worry for the Phoenix. They chose to re-sign him, and now they've got to figure out how best to get the most out of him. For the Kings, in that first turnover, they had that first turnover exactly. In the first quarter, they had eight turnovers to just two, and that was what helped keep Phoenix down the game early. In terms of their roster, I'm really not sold on Kwart Noy at this point. He just seems like he's constantly on the attack, but mind only for the basket, and looks like he's just trying too hard. So I think he just needs to chill out and let the game come to him a little bit more. Just over anxious. Xavier Cooks continues to be a one-man fast break. He rips down defensive rebounds and just accelerates down and, you know, waits for the defense to stop him. So he's continuing on, you know, that good form. That doing that will have him in good stead for the season. The one thing I'd say though, Sydney, Why weren't they flogging this Phoenix team? Undermanned, Williams fouling out, imports not there. The Sydney Kings should, you would think, be blitzing this team, and they didn't. So, as you know, tough as it was for Phoenix to play without them, I still have concerns for Sydney Kings and their ability to win games against full-strength squads. So, look, they're... they've got a lot of work to do. They did, however, end up putting 91 points on the board, which is a reasonable performance. So they'd probably be happy with that. But, his job... I'm getting tongue-twisted now, as I think. But that's probably about it for that game. Let's move on to the next one. Melbourne United, Perth Wildcats. Well, this was one-way traffic. We had... Xavier Rattan-Mays and Tucker with a point to prove. Rajon Tucker was just, he talked up his game as he was going to be with the best, he thought he should have been one of the best imports, and based on tonight, you'd have to say he's got a point. He talked that talk, and he's backed it up. He finished with 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 of which he stole from his own teammates. He literally was fighting his teammates for rebounds in the first half twice. They were struggling for it. And he ended up with both of those. So he ends up with 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and the 3 turnovers. But he was just a phenom on the court, and then ably backed up by Xavier Rattan-Mays, who was just on fire offensively, just doing great things. So from that point of view, excellent news for Melbourne United. What's not excellent news? An absolute disastrous injury. What looks to be an Achilles for Ariel Huck-Porty. Looking at the replay, and thanks to DJ Rod for sharing that replay so I was able to see it. That looked like it just popped. He didn't slip. There was no impact on anybody. It just went like Achilles sometimes do. He was on the floor screaming out in pain. Everybody in the stadium could hear him screaming in agony. A hush came over the crowd. It was one of those things you never like to see in sport. You don't want to see guys getting injured. And it almost was, you almost didn't notice it at first, because as that happened, down the other end, there was a whole bunch of impact and 2 or 3 guys hit the floor as well. So you had injured guys down at both ends. But really, the injury to really worry about was Huck-Porty. So not good news for him, as he was looking at this season as being a key year to build him towards the NBA next year. So that'll take him out for a good 12 months, you would expect. And absolutely, a knife through the plans for his career early. So not good to see at all. Besides that, though, Melbourne United were brilliant. They were passing the ball. They were sharing it. The ball movement was snappy. They looked so much better than they did the other night. And this, if Melbourne United play like that consistently, well, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And for the Perth Wildcats, however, they got some issues. Now, really, Coach John Riley was continually upset by the refereeing, and I think at certain times he had fair points. Rajon Tucker was just allowed to travel constantly. There were some over and back violations, like backcourt violations that didn't seem to get called. There were a lot of fouls being called that seemed a little bit lopsided. He was steaming, though. And I think as frustrating as those calls can be, that didn't change the result of the game. What's the problem for Perth Wildcats is they got no offense. Their offense was a shambles all night. Brady Manick continues as the 3 consecutive games where he's underperformed. He hasn't hit the 3-point shot, which is what he's kind of there to do. And he's getting shoved around at the other end. He just doesn't have the strength to stay with these other guys. I commented to Nick, I sort of said he looks a bit like a rag doll just getting tossed around out there. Just doesn't have that core strength to stay with it. So that's a worry. Then you had Bryce Cotton having an off game. I wouldn't worry too much about that. That'll happen. But the problem is his teammates didn't really pick up the slack. So Todd Blanchfield doesn't look great this year already. He's just looking a bit slow. His 3-point shot was well off. Then the team in general just looked like they weren't engaged at all, and the result indicated how disengaged they were. I think it's just one of those things when it's not your night, or when it is your night, it is your night, and it was Melbourne's night tonight. Wildcats had no inside presence whatsoever. They've got no rim. They've got no rim protection, and they've also got no post-up game really that is evident at all. It was just skip it around, and just like taking turns shooting threes. I think this game may have actually resulted in the biggest differential of the tournament. The split was 90-63, 27 points. I think that's the biggest margin we've seen all night and all tournament. And 63 points to the Wildcats, that's not going to win you any games. So they have got a lot of work to do, and it's not looking good. and their import balance, if Brady Manek doesn't start delivering on what was promised, their import balance looks off. If he can hit the threes, he can offset his defensive weaknesses, and it's a fine trade. If he can't hold, if he can't make those shots, then they're giving up too much. So that was the night for tonight. We look forward to now tomorrow night, Queen's public holiday tomorrow. Don't forget, you can go, you know, pay your respects to the Queen, and enjoy a day off in doing so. But tomorrow we have Tasmania Jack Jumbos up against the Cairns Taipans. And then after that, it's the Illawarra Hawks up against the Adelaide 36ers. So we will look forward to both those games tomorrow. Keep an eye out on the Twitters and that kind of thing. And we'll see what we can do tomorrow. We had some fun today with it. We continue to have fun. And feel free to have a chat back to us if there's anything you're thinking of. I am at Andrew Canyon, C-A-N-I-O-N. There is at NBL Pocket Pod, and there's also at Nick Tan 77. So, yeah, look forward to talking to you with you there. Until tomorrow, this is Andrew Canyon for the NBL Pocket Podcast, signing off. See ya.